हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय। So then we're on Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then Madhya Lila chapter 8 talks between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. Page 30. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Ramananda Rai, recite a verse from the revealed scriptures concerning the ultimate goal of life. Ramananda Rai replied, if one executes the prescribed duties of his social position, he awakens his original Krishna consciousness. Right? So he's taking this as a verse from the scriptures, right? Srila Prabhupada. In this connection, Sri Ramanujacharya states in the Vedarta Sangraha that devotional service is naturally very dear to the living entity. Indeed, it is life's goal. This devotional service is supreme knowledge or Krishna consciousness, and it brings detachment from all material activity. In the transcendental position, a living entity can perfectly acknowledge the superiority of serving the Supreme Lord. The devotees attain the Supreme Lord only by devotional service. Having such knowledge, one engages in his occupational duty, and that is called bhakti yoga. By performing bhakti yoga, one can rise to the platform of pure devotional service. A great saint, the father of Srila Vyasadeva, Parasara Muni, has specifically mentioned that devotional service to the Lord can ultimately be awakened in human society by the discharge of duties in accordance with the Varnashram system. The Supreme Personality of Godhead instituted Varnashram to give human beings a chance to return home, back to Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, who is known in the Bhagavad Gita as Purushottam, the greatest of all personalities, personally came and declared that the institution of Varnashram Dharma was founded by him. Right, so it's very important to understand this, because generally speaking, at this point, this is the exact verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita that devotees generally use to throw out Varnashram. Oh, we don't follow Varnashram. Sri Lord Chaitanya rejected it. But we see here in, you know, the point, the verses that's mentioned, it says, if one executes the prescribed duties of his social position, he awakes his original Krishna consciousness. I think it's from I'm not sure if it's from Vishnu Purana or if it's from Padma Purana, but it's a Puranic verse. So then, The point comes up is, so then Prabhupada's talking about how, yes, awakening Krishna consciousness, that is the actual goal of the living entity. That's what he's trying to do. And so by being absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then that's when you come to perfection. Now, the point comes is that how do you keep yourself busy? Because either you're spontaneously attracted to the Lord, like Maharaj, you know, Muchukunda, the gopis, the wives of the Brahmins, like this, then they're just spontaneously attracted. They're just engaged in service. But if you don't have that kind of faith, that kind of deep faith, then one has to practice the processes that are given. So then if you're practicing the process, how do you keep yourself busy? Because if we say, you know, you keep yourself busy, but, oh no, that's external, forget that. Okay, so what about deity worship? Oh, that's just for kanistas and all that, right? As if everybody who's making that point is a madhyama, right? And so what's left, you know? So you harinam, oh, you know, we don't do that. That doesn't look so great to the public. You know, they think that we're just a bunch of beggars. So what's left? Sitting at home and eating popcorn and watching Netflix or what? You know, I mean, what do you leave? So that's the difficulty that comes up, is not understood, is that it says here, it probably makes a very big sense here, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. So you don't, you know, think you're talking about someone else, you know, Krishna Das, you know, your neighbor's daughter's husband, you know, like that, who, how you say, works down at the office down there at the two buildings away. Not that one. Who is known in the Bhagavad Gita as Purushottam, the greatest of all personalities. So he said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, Purushottam, the greatest of personality, personally came and declared that the institution of Varnashram was founded by him. So he established it. He follows it. All his devotees follow it. There are no devotees that don't follow it, unless they're being a Paramahamsa and acting in that way as an avatut. Then maybe it appears they don't follow it, but in their spiritual form, they're following. Right? So, but it's not about Varnashram. That's the thing, is that this is the difficulty that comes up. It's that you can't reject Varnashram because that's what we use. But at the same time, it's not, the point is not about Varnashram. The point is about being in devotional service. And so by using your prescribed duties to please Krishna, because it's founded by him, that will help you awaken Krishna consciousness. Why? Because the devotion in which you perform your duties, then that's the thing. It is the medium. That's like saying, okay, what's the ultimate thing about the cooking? And I say a frying pan, right? Because I do all my cooking in a frying pan. But the point is it's not the frying pan. The ultimate thing about the cooking is offering to Krishna, pleasing Krishna. That's the ultimate point. So therefore, but I express that devotion to Krishna by using that frying pan to cook nice things for Krishna. So the same way, Varnashram is the social system we use. If you're acting outside the social system, you know, as an avatut or as a paramahamsa, that's fine. Like Haridas Thakur, he just chants his japa and that's all he does. He doesn't worry so. But you see, when he comes in contact with those following Varnashram, he's very careful about it. Otherwise, he just sits and chants. Or if you're way below Varnashram, that, you know, the modes of nature and everything are just so much of a burden to you that between you and Varnashram is this great weight of just, you know, unable to accept authority and work according, you know, to rules and regulations and all that. Yes, then you just do your best and you chant and whatever you can do to serve Krishna. You know, the direct five activities that are directly connected to Krishna, you perform that, you will be elevated. But the point is as you become elevated, then it makes it easier and easier, because now the modes of passion, ignorance subside, then in the mode of goodness you use this. But as Lord Chaitanya will point out in the next, It's external, because that's, you're externally using that. Just like when you're cooking, it's a mood, it's an attitude, it's a science like that. The pots are external. Yes. Does that mean we don't use pots? You have to be an idiot to say that. I mean, really, you have to be an idiot. Literally. Because then how do you cook? But that's what people say. Oh, Lord Chaitanya said like this. Okay, great. What else did he say? That's the only one you know? So what did he say is the ultimate goal? Right. So we have to be very, very careful here, is that he executes that, he awakens, because it's not that the Varnashram is awakening. The Varnashram is something that regulates your life so that you're inclined to actually do activities that you can connect to Krishna. That's the whole point of it. You know, it's like going into the temple room to chant. You can chant anywhere, but if you're in the temple, the tendency is you'll do more chanting and less texting. Right? But if you're outside, you know, you say, I'm going to chant my rounds, and then the phone makes a noise, and then the next thing you know is that, you know, an hour went by and you got two rounds done. You know, but in the temple, you're a little bit more, you know, aware. So that's the whole idea, is the Varnashram just helps. The Varnashram, the Pancharatra, these just help regulate the life so that we tend to stay in goodness, that we tend to then therefore act, you know, according to system, because the point is, Prabhupada's making it very clear here that Krishna declares he founded Varnashram Dharma. He is the one. So he will say how, where it's useless or not. Like that. So the point is bhakti yoga is the main thing. That's the point being made here. But by using Varnashram, then that can help you elevate yourself. So as a sadhaka, it's useful.
Maharaj?
Yes, please.
You know, the word Varnashram is on everybody's tongue, especially the last few years in ISKCON. Everybody's talking about, we have to establish Varnashram. Prabhupada wanted Varnashram. But, you know, it's like there's so little being done about it. And from my observation, it's very vastly misunderstood. And therefore, yes, it doesn't appeal to the devotees, because the devotees believe, I've joined ISKCON, I have to become a brahmana. If I am not a brahmana, I'm not going back to Godhead. Therefore, I cannot accept any other designation. But as you explain, and as Srila Prabhupada explains, we talk about Devi Varnashram means even a labor class person can attain pure bhakti by following the principles of devotional service without having to aspire to become something any higher. The highest is within that particular status if you offer everything to Krishna. It's so misunderstood in our movement.
Yes, it's very misunderstood. Because one thing is that the difficulty is that it's a social system that is functioning in goodness. It can accommodate people that have modes of passion and ignorance, but it itself is situated in goodness, and Daiva Varnashram is meant to bring you to the point of pure goodness. In other words, you're using the platform of goodness in the service of the Lord, so attaining pure goodness. So that's where, how you say, I think I can't remember who it is. Is it Macbeth? You know, this, therein lies the rub.
Yes, Macbeth.
Yes, yes, Macbeth. So therein lies the rub. The mode of goodness. Okay, if you're from the West, what modes are passion? What modes are prominent there? Right, ignorance with a little sprinkling of passion enough that people run around like madmen, make money, and spend it all. Right, so that's why it's not understood. That's why it can't be seen how it's used. That's why even though devotees are so much engaged in it, they can't even see that they are. So when we say we have to establish Varnashram, it's out of 8 positions, 5 are already established. 3 more are the ones that we have to do. But that's not understood. It's like it's all or nothing. So that's the difficulty that comes up. Because, and the other part is, yes, everybody becomes a Brahmin. Any devotee becomes a Brahmin. But that means by one who understands Brahman. But that, so the soul is a Brahmin. And so therefore they're on that Brahman platform, but the gross and subtle body are not necessarily. It might be that you have a Brahminical nature, and then by purifying it, you're able to act in that capacity. Right? You know, because when everything, if it's you're in ignorance, then you're in ignorance. You know? You know, it's just like let's say we take who was it? Hemingway, right? Very excellent, you know, writer and all that. Then as a thing for the army, he went in as a medical person and all that. So basically, from all angles, it has that kind of Brahminical kind of thing, you know, as far as Western stuff goes. But the point is that things didn't work out for him. He just became so tamasic. So that means this, he won't be acting so in such a Brahminical way. So that's the whole point, is that even though the conditioned nature may be externally Brahminical, but because of the association, the modes of passion and ignorance are so strong, basically everyone acts as a Shudra, and that's actually how the society, the Western society, wants you to be. The Western society wants you to be a Shudra. And then within Shudras, we try to make it, you know, middle management, we make them look big, other professionals look big. You know, we try to leave the doctors and this and that, you know, that they look okay, and the teachers and all that, and all and the lawyers and all that. But who runs the hospital? Vaishyas. Who runs the school? Vaishyas. So that means everybody is serving the Vaishyas. So what varna does that make you? Shudra. So Western society, the Western bourgeois society, wants you to be a Shudra because Shudra works, therefore money's made, you're given a pittance, but it's enough to go out and spend money, and the others, then they have lots of money that they can do all kinds of ridiculous stuff with. That's just the way it's designed, like that. And it's designed to make you think that you have your freedoms and everything like that. So yes, but the point is that the body, so when you purify, then it may come up and it may be brahminical, but it might be Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. What does it matter? Because that's the point of Daiva Varnashram, is you're trying to go back to Godhead. You can use anything in Krishna's service. You know, I can use the frying pan in Krishna's service. I can use the karai, the wok in Krishna's service. I can use the pot in Krishna's service. I can use this, you know, the steamer in Krishna's service, or the pressure cooker in Krishna's service. I can use the, you know, that the tawa in Krishna's service. I can use all those to cook. I can use the oven in Krishna. So it doesn't matter, as long as it's used in Krishna's service. But what comes into it, there's also, that's the other thing that gets in the way of it. You know, you mentioned before, I have to become a Brahmin. So that's the one, is that they're thinking from the ashram side. But the other is the prestige of it. No one wants to be the Shudra, literally. Like the GBC making everybody into bureaucrats, which is Shudras. But their position, they're supposed to be Brahmins and lead the society. But they're creating a system of bureaucracy. Like that. And but at the same time, you say, no, we're not there. We're this and that. You know, you can't be this. No one can be the Shudra. But why do you incline to act in that way? That's the way you've been conditioned.
Go ahead. Maharaj, I was thinking while you were speaking, how the devotees, when they go on Braj Mandal Parikram or just wander around Vrindavan, how much they aspire to be like the farmers. Oh, if I could just have their bhakti. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, in Braj, you have farmers. It's all labor class, actually. There's very few Brahmins in Vrindavan. And yet, all the devotees aspire
and
to
those
be
those ones them. Let you know they're Brahmins.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it's just that. That's the thing, is that it's so mixed up. Because if you're looking at it, the thing, you know, you go out and you make yourself a daisy chain mala, put it on your head, and flowy clothes and all that, and dance, do circle dances on the side of the hill where the merry, you know, it means where the daffodils are also blooming, the butterflies are flitting, the birds are chirping, you know, there's a nice rainbow in the background and everything like that. But at the same time is that, we can't go with these flowing clothes in the public. People will think we're stupid. It's like, huh? You know, so that's the thing, is that there's all these sentimental mixes. There's no one direction, you know. That's the whole thing, is that, you know, if you say, so we want to, you know, do something nice for the kids, you know, community for the kids. What's everyone going to say, right? It takes a village to raise a child, right? And it's a good, very good point. Where is that point from? That's an African saying. Which country? I'm not sure. I think it's more Northern Africa, you know, but it's an African saying, right? And something else, you know, then they'll quote, you know, Sun Tzu, this one, that one, all over the world, like that. So then we can do all these things. No, we're from the West. We have to do Western stuff. It's like, there is no standard, no direction. It's just whatever each one feels like. But because each one is allowing everybody else to do whatever they like, there's a sense of community. And the sense of community is that, I'm okay, you're okay. You know, so it's a Mayavadi thing. You know, I don't bother you, you don't bother me. Even though nowadays, I don't think people are very good at doing that anymore. But, you know, so the difficulty comes down is that Daiva Varnashram means all these parts are there. And so therefore you don't have to worry about if you're the Shudra, because that makes no difference on whether you give class or not, or lead the kirtan or not, or do the artik for the deities or not. You know, if your occupation is a shudra. But if your realization is Brahminical, you have second initiation, you do all the different things. What's the problem? So the difficulty is being able to run all these things at once. That you're running the Bhagavat, you're running the Pancharatrak, you're running the Vedic, and within the Vedic is the Daiva Varnashra, but it still has its external form of just whatever your body and mind is, that's what it is. You know, it's not going to change. It's not that means, you know, it's not that you felt, okay, maybe, you know, I'm not tall enough in that, but when I take up Krishna consciousness, then, you know, everybody grows like, you know, 30 centimeters or something like that, right? You know, isn't that how it works? If someone was too tall and all that, then, you know, they shorten down. If someone's too fat, they get skinny, you know, so everybody comes out, you know, with that nice Vaikuntha, you know, look, everyone has that same, you know, right? Isn't that how it works? No? Yeah. So to be able to appreciate all these things at once, that's why for us, Achinta Beta Beta Tattva, the more one appreciates that, the more these things become easy to work together at once. They seem contradictory, but they're not at all. But if you're you know, one of these Vaikunthawalas and all that, then it's a little bit more straightforward. You just have everybody does this and everybody does that, and that's it. But for us, there's an understanding in the mood, and not that it's not there with the others, but the point is if they catch that mood more, it makes it work better. But if not, it'll still, by doing those things and with that determination and that dedication, it will work. But for us, it's like, who will follow the rules? You know? And then the people won't follow the rules, then they make rules that even they don't follow, and no one else will follow. So everyone wastes their time. So what's being established here, this is the bottom line. You know, it's just like when you start something, you make the bottom line first, to check everything from. This is the bottom line. Someone who is performing the prescribed duties, you know, for the purpose of serving Krishna, right? So, but he said, concerning the ultimate goal of life. So Krishna consciousness is the ultimate goal, but within that, there are fine divisions. But this is the situation that the devotee establishes himself in to perform that devotional service. But it doesn't mean that situation of Varnashram is the ultimate goal. No, pure bhakti is. Now he's going to take him further and further on what this pure bhakti means. Because you can be original Krishna conscious, you can do, but to take it back to where it actually starts being original, then you will see Lord Caitanya will take Ramananda Rai through a few steps.
Can I ask you, Maharaj, what is the difference between prescribed duty and the spiritual master's instructions, or are they included?
Means the point is to keep busy. So if in simply the instructions that are there, it's enough to keep you busy. You don't need to worry about anything else. Just like, let's say, like devotees living in the temple, then they just are given something to do. They do that and they're done. Right? Now, if they have a little difficulty, they can go speak to the authority. They might change the service or give some advice. And you go on. So you don't really have to worry about, because they're situated just in a pancharatric, completely pancharatric lifestyle that's focusing on the Bhagavad. So they're using the Pancharatrik to practice Bhagavad. But if you're not living in the temple, you know, then unless your dad's really rich like that, and there's a trust in, you know, in your name that takes care of you, then you may have a problem. You're gonna have to do something that will generate your funds. And so that's going to then define where you fit in. So if you're doing Brahminical work, you have those duties and those regulations. If you're doing Kshatriya, then you have those regulations. Vaishya, you have those regulations. The point is that you want to regulate the life so that you can be Krishna conscious. And so the more they talk about community, the more they have to be talking about using Varnashram. But at the same time, it's not about Varnashram. Some people take it so far, unless it's this, like this, we can't establish Varnashram, and you know, unless we're all living out in the country and growing potatoes, we can't establish varnashramas. What are they talking about? Krishna lived in the city. And then we're talking about big cities here. Big, big. You know, the Pandavas lived in the city. Like that, you know. So what are they talking about here? You know, oh, you can't follow Varnashram. So Krishna wasn't following Varnashram? The Pandavas weren't following Varnashram? Like that. Lord Ramachandra wasn't following. He lived in a city. You know, all these, half of the people that are mentioned in the Bhagavatam lived in a city. And even Kardama Muni, who was out in the forest, you know, once he got married and he was happy with his wife's attitude, he created a flying city. So does that mean now he can't follow Varnashram? I'm sorry, you're not growing potatoes. I'm sorry, you know, Kardama Muni, you know, you may have to change this Muni name, you know, like that. Maybe, you know, try Agrawal or, you know, something like that. Goldberg, maybe, or something like that. But like that. Well, he was more marble, so maybe Marbleberg? I don't know. Have you heard of a Marbleberg? Yeah, I'm not sure. But so that's the difficulty that will come up, is that being able to accommodate these things and put them together at once, it's difficult. It's just like you've seen yourself in cooking. How many people have interest in cooking anymore? Before it was like everybody could cook. I remember when I came to the temple, they were telling me that a few years before, how they, means the leaders there, how they had the standard at that time when they were taking initiation, is that you had to be able to lead all the kirtans in the temple program, you know, lead Hari Nam. You had to be able to give a Bhagavatam class. You had to be able to do the Guru Puja. You had to be able to do all the deity worship and all that kind of stuff.
And cook like the Sunday feast.
And you had to, yes, and you had to be able to cook the Sunday feast on your own.
On your own.
Yeah. Then now you are qualified to get initiation. Because the idea was as well, if you go out and open a temple, you need to know all these things. Because before that, devotees were going out and opening temples. They didn't know all these things. And so whatever. They just saw that it works better this way. You know, as people after 3 months in the movement would go out and open yatras, open temples. You know, so there was that mood. But everybody had to cook. You know? So that's the you know, how you say, and you have the French acharya there, you know, his book, Everybody Can Cook, you know? So, yeah, so the whole thing is this, right? And so that's the whole point, is that. And then the whole story that this one Brahmin, he couldn't understand this point. And finally, at the end, he got his epiphany and understood this point, how everybody can cook. So the whole point is that it's an important thing. But what is the thing about cooking? What is the difficulty in cooking? It's the subtleties of understanding how you mix things together and how much proportion and all that to make it nice. You need something in there, but you can't put too much. You can't put too little. And the more things you put, the more it has to balance. So that takes practice. You know? But nowadays, everyone wants instant. You know? So, you know, microwave frozen pizza, you know? Whoopee. You know? So the main point here is that he's starting this as a baseline of where Vaishnavas are starting. They're performing their duties and trying to awaken their Krishna consciousness. But the glory of Lord Chaitanya's mission is you can start lower than this as long as you're following authority. Like it was said before, you follow the order of Guru and this and that, you know, your local authorities. And even if you don't understand all these things, you do it. And with time, you get purified so that you'll be able to understand, you know, how it works. But we use Varnashram, but it's not about Varnashram. It's about awakening Krishna consciousness. That's why he keeps saying is that it's about, in the transcendental position, living being can perfectly acknowledge the superiority of serving the Lord. So he makes this full thing. By performing bhakti yoga, one can rise to the platform of pure devotional service. That's his Prabhupada's first point. But his second point is that Varnashram is there. It's the natural thing. Parasarmuni has specifically mentioned devotional service to the Lord can ultimately be awakened in human society by the discharge of duties in accordance with the Varnashram system. So Prabhupada says we follow, Manu, Yajnavalkya, and Parasarmuni, right? Because they're able to say these things very nicely. And so the second paragraph, he makes a very strong presentation about you can't neglect Varnashram. With this understanding, now we can go on to these next verses. But otherwise, at this point, you say, see, he's rejected this here, and then move on. One has possibly missed the point. Because you're saying, see, it's a Varnashram that's rejected. No. It's that devotional service has been presented. But simply that form of doing your duties, Varnashram duties according to your conditioning to serve Krishna, that's not the ultimate goal. It's about the serving Krishna part is the ultimate goal. But how far can you take that? Right? Because Lord Chaitanya did his duties as a sannyasi. Right? This whole discussion before was Ramananda Rai is talking about his position as a Shudra and governor of Madras province. You know, and so like that. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, now he's become a devotee. He doesn't do all this Brahmin stuff at the Jagannath temple. You know, so that's the thing, is that this is just the lifestyle to live. This is just the form. But it doesn't, it's like you're in the kitchen to cook, you know. You know, oh, it's not about this, it's about the devotion to Krishna. So we don't need the kitchen, we don't need to cook. We'll just sit around and meditate on Krishna. Great. And then when it comes time to eat, right? So are we good with this so far, or we're good?
Yes. Actually, Lord Chaitanya actually accommodated all varnas and all ashrams, and even below varnashram.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, you see the what's his name? Raghava Pandit's dog.
Yes.
You know, so that's where we come in. You know, because you have the members of the varnashram. Then you have that list of the 12 tribes, you know, the other below Varnashram. And then at the end of that, it says, or lower. And so then it says, you know, if they all take up Krishna consciousness, then everything's perfect. So we fit into the or lower category like that. So that's the thing, is like you say, Lord Chaitanya accommodates everybody. But it doesn't mean that as you get purified, you don't properly engage yourself. Right, but that's just the form you use. You know, it's just like you take a shower, you use some soap, you use water, but it's not about the shower and the soap and the water. It's about you know, preparing yourself to go to the temple to meet Krishna. It's part of Abhigamana, but it's not about, you know, that. So that's the difficulty. When Varnashram, they just focus on the shower part. No, it's about going to the temple. And others say, oh, we just have to go to the temple. We don't need to take a shower. It's kind of like, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Is that okay? Okay. So 2858.
Guru Maharaj, may I ask you about Varnashrama?
Yes.
In Vedic system, Kshatriyas were managers, and I want to clarify a point about position of Ramananda Rai, why he was also manager, why he considered a Shudra in Indian society at that time. Because he worked in a Muslim government, or because he got a salary?
No, because he works for Maharaj Prataparudra. He wasn't working under any Muslim government at that time. So, because, no, he's a hired person who does that job. Because the point is in governance, you have the Kshatriyas, but then you have all these other people that help within it. It's just like, let's say, I think it was, you're noticing, maybe it's in London, down on Oxford Street, down at, you know, a little far down from the temple. There's a big store called Marks and Spencer's, right? And so we were discussing with some devotees one day something about it. And I think in total, for all, because I think they have more than that shop. They have so many shops. So there's a total of about 10,000 workers. But in the discussion, there's three guys that they own and run the business. So that means three Vaishyas and 10,000 Shudras. And that makes Marks and Spencers. So when you walk into Marks and Spencers, all the people in there, even though all they're doing is selling you stuff, those are all Shudras. The guys that sit in the room up above that you don't see that make the decisions on what to buy this season and how much and this and that, how much they'll sell it for, what's the profit, what kind of direction, what kind of flavor, who are they, you know, who's their market, all that's the Vaishyas. Right? So it has to be understood is that most of society is Shudras, literally. You know? So therefore, in a devotee society, then you see the proportion is actually less than in the Karmi society. Like we were saying, is that I've heard from a few devotees about a proportion that Prabhupada gives based off of 64. You know, and in there, then there's certain proportions. I've heard, I know the one from Achyutananda Maharaj would give. I'm not sure where it was from, one of the Puranas, where it's based off 1,000. So out of 1,000 people, this is a crocs cutter, just regular society. Out of 1,000 people, 900 are Shudras, 90 are Vaishyas, 9 are Kshatriyas, 1's a Brahmin. But within the devotee community, it's much tighter. It's within 64. So the proportion of everybody, it changes like that. Because, you know, you're dropping off, you know, all kinds of people who aren't going to be interested. So the principle is that just because he's managing doesn't make him a Kshatriya. This is also, you know, one of the very big misunderstandings in the society. Management, everybody manages. You know, like that. It's like, you know, what are they talking about? You know, it's like at the school, the teacher manages to teach their class and do it on time and manages to get the books, manages to do the curriculum things. Does that mean now he's a Kshatriya? The janitor managed to clean the bathrooms in the hallway. Now, is he a manager? The Uber driver managed to get his car ready in time for his shift and all that, the petrol in. You know, he changed his tires, changed his oil. You know, vacuum the car, wash the outside. That's a lot of management. So now is he a Kshatriya? So the whole point is it's administration that makes someone a Kshatriya. So he, Ramananda Rai, assists in that. He knows how to organize it. So in other words, anybody who has an MBA and is working in the business community, they're a Shudra. That's the fun part, is that the businessmen have gotten all the Brahmins to go and get the MBAs so that they can now have them work for them because they're smart. So does that make sense?
Thank you, Guru
Maharaj. You know, so that's the whole point, is that he's working for the king, but he's not a Kshatriya himself. Because the everything that's going on there, all the revenue, everything, it goes to the king. He just manages it. That's all. He just sees that all the revenue is going on, all the administration, you know, the bureaucratic administration is going on. He's seeing that, you know, that discipline is going on. He sees all these different things are going on. But also, like most of the police, they're Shudras also. The officers might be Kshatriyas, but the general police guys, most of them are Shudras. That's why you see them behave so badly. Would a Kshatriya go out there and harass people? No. So you understand, those police are Shudras. But as in general, they will be, of course. But they should be, you know, the guys that are leading them should give them better mentality and better, you know, way to approach it. So the whole point is that this idea is that just because, you know, you manage something, that makes you, so it's taken that management and Kshatriya are synonymous. No, management's management. Administration is what makes you a Kshatriya. And you may be assisting, you be managing administration within administration, but that doesn't make you a Kshatriya. But you're working in the Kshatriya field, so he's a Shudra that works in Kshatriya field, just like a salesman is a Shudra who works in the business field. You know, or let's say like a nurse, so that is a Shudra who works within the medical field, you know, or the masseur or things like that. They assist the Brahmin, right? The Brahmin knows how to do the massage, but there's someone who just does massage. And so the Brahmin will, after checking in that and for the diagnosis, says, okay, this person needs this massage. So he could give it himself, but if he has so many patients, he's running things, then he may have an assistant who does the massage for him. But the masseur only knows how to do the massage. He doesn't know how to diagnose that this guy needs a massage, right? With time, he picks it up. You know, he's been doing it for 20, 30 years. He can tell a lot of times by looking at you in that, but he doesn't know the science. He just knows that every time someone looked like that, they got this massage. You look like that, you need this massage. You know, and then the people go, wow, how did you know? You know, that's that, by association, they pick it up. Does that make some sense?
Yes, thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So that's the thing. So now let's move on. Enough of this platform. 2858. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is worshipped by the proper execution of prescribed duties in the system of varna and ashram. There is no other way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must be situated in the institution of the four varnas and ashrams. Okay? Srila Prabhupada. This is a quotation from the Vishnu Purana, as stated by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in this Amrita Pravaha Vasya. The purport is that one can realize life's perfection simply by satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the point. So Varnashram is a system that is usable very nicely in Krishna's service. There's, you know, whatever is to be dropped off is already dropped off. For us, we come from, you know, just no structure to having some structure. And so for us, oh, it's so much rules and regulations. We don't know how much is dropped off. We just stick to the thing. We just say Sarira Vijaya, we eat Prashad, Hari Bol. The Brahmins sit down there and do Parisationam. You know, they sit there and they do the thing, the Achman and things, and put the water and chant all the mantras and then take the rice, you know, without touching it to the teeth and swallowing, doing all these different things. And then after that, they start eating. I mean, devotees have enough trouble, right? Before, right, you know, somebody says, and everybody else repeats and all that. Notice how in the last few years it gets to everybody says it together because no one has any patience to wait anymore. How would they do parisation? So these things have been dropped. We just remember that it's Prashad and Hari Bol, you know, like that. You know, we go back to the LA one, Om Tat Sat, Hare Krishna, thanks a lot, you know, like that. You know, so like this. Then, a good one, no, that one. So the point is that you're using Krishna. It's already been simplified for us. It's like you say, Ekadasi is no grains and beans. You know, Chaturmas is don't eat these four things. That's it. It's been simplified. So what we're doing in Varnashram is just enough that it works together as a social system so that everybody benefits, you know, as far as maintaining themselves. And at the same time, is you don't get complicated by all the rules and regulations so that you have a tendency to forget Krishna. Like that. So it's already been done. This is also confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.13. Ata pumbir dvija shreshta Varnashrama vibhaga saha. Svanushti tasya dharmasya samsidhir haritoshanam. O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the higher perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed for one's own occupation according to caste divisions and orders of life is to please the personality of Godhead. Right? So he said that the highest perfection you can attain by doing that, it's not that that creates it. By doing, practicing the Varnashram, the highest thing you can get is trying to use it to please the Lord. And just as the byproducts is, it'll make money, it'll maintain you, and those kind of things. So in other words, you're doing the activity, but the highest thing you can get is remembering the Lord. So when you perform your duties and connect it to the Lord, you're getting devotional benefit. At the same time, you're getting the benefit that comes from following the Varnashram. But for most people, they just follow Varnashram and don't get any spiritual benefit. So that's the point. So that's the highest perfection one can achieve is by doing it that way. So you see is that it's followed, but it's about doing, just like we're saying, cooking. It's not about the technique and all. It's about pleasing Krishna. And so then we're trying to please Krishna. And so then how do we please Krishna? We cook how Krishna likes. How does he like? So then we see. Shrutta, Shakari, Bhaji, Nalita, Krishna. Oh, how do you do those things? So then Prabhupada gives directions. Chaitanya Charitamrita says things. You want to look, you look into how, you know, how the aristocratic Bengalis, how do they cook stuff? You know, and like this, you can pick up stuff. But the main point is this, you're making it as refined as possible to for Krishna. But it's not the refined that's perfection. It's that you're trying to make it refined to please Krishna that's perfection. This is where the difficulty comes in, is the inability, because for us, it's one or the other. Either it's totally about making it, you know, the technique, or it's just about the bhav. But the point is how long does the bhav go on if there's no technique? So they go together. Every man should perform his occupational duty in the light of his particular tendency, right? So he's saying they must do. According to his abilities, one should accept a position in the Varnashram institution. Right. In other words, it's not a matter of us. It's not up to us to decide whether Varnashram works or not or fits. It's given by Krishna. It's his world. It's his laws of nature. It works. It's a matter of us accepting a position according to, in light of his particular tendency. That's all. Of course, if our tendency is to not follow authority and do whatever whimsically we want, you know, for our own betterment, then the Varnashram Manu does explain those positions. You know, technically speaking, that's generally the chandalas do that, you know, because they try to present themselves as very brahminical, but their whole purpose is shudra. You know, so that's the difficulty.
Maharaj?
Yes.
Maharaj? So can we say that when a person, especially devotee, follow Varnashram Dharma, they are all satisfied? They're supposed to be satisfied.
It means externally they can be satisfied, but it's not going to satisfy you spiritually.
Yes.
But it's used in Krishna's service. Because, let's say, young person, they want to get married. So that requires all kinds of facility. That all comes by Varnashram. Otherwise, how do you know what you do, what someone else does, what you should do with the money, how to take care of things? You won't know. So it gives the structure. And then by following it, then you're engaged in Krishna's service. Then you get purified like that. It makes room for you doing all your Varnashram, you know, Pancharatric things. Because in the Varnashram system, you're going to have some form of sadhana. So whether you're following Vedic, you're following Tantric, you're following Pancharatric, it doesn't matter. It has its place. We follow our particular, you know, combination of the Pancharatric with the Bhagavad. And so with that focus on the Bhagavad. So that's what we're doing. And so it fits into the Varnashram system. And so then it's a structure in which you can put all these things. That's why he said, accept a position in the Varnashram institution. So we have zero right to decide, does it match or not, or does it work in Kali Yuga or this? It's we accept a position, that's all. Like that. Does that work?
Yes.
Okay. The divisions of Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra are natural divisions within society. Indeed, everyone has to prescribe duty according to the Varnashram system, Varnashram Dharma. So even in the modern society, it's still divided like this, like that, because you can say the intellectuals, you know, the educator like this, the intellectual educators like this, you have the administrators, you have the business community, and you have those who, you know, work for everybody else, you know, and that, yeah, and within those you could have divisions. Everyone can understand that. At least anybody who deals with it can understand it. You know, anybody who has to deal with the whole overall social system can understand it like that. So they're natural divisions. Just in the modern, they're not very scientific. Those who properly execute their prescribed duties live peacefully and are not disturbed by material conditions, right? So that's the point. If you're not distracted by the material, it makes it easier to be absorbed in the spiritual. But spiritual is independent, even if you don't. I mean, because how much do devotees follow? Not so much. But still, they're advancing in Krishna consciousness. So despite the material conditions not being very great, they're still advancing. So that's the beauty of it. So generally the brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas are a little bit stronger, a little bit more appreciated, or at least the grihastha and the sannyas kind of are. Brahmacharya used to be more, now a little less. Vanaprastha, it's still a bit of a gray area. But the point is that these things we won't say, oh, we don't do this. It's Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Why? Because those are the social. Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyasa are the spiritual. So we understand this progression in the spiritual. But Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, those are the social. And in the social, we want to be the best. It means, what Westerner doesn't want to be the best? You know what I'm saying? That's the history of European society, is that they're the best. And so because of them being the best, therefore they can take advantage of everybody else. Right? Europe, a small place. How are they controlling the whole world? What's the basis? Because they figure they're civilized and everybody else is savages. Like that. And so therefore come in, control them, take their money, and hurry ball. Right? You know, because otherwise, what natural resources are there? Trees and wild boars and maybe truffles. You know? And if you're farther down south and you have some olive oil and stuff like that, but they don't take them very seriously. You know? Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty, is that this Western, first world Western society, that they're just superior automatically because of who they are. That's all. And so that's the difficulty as it comes up, is that within that, then they have to be Brahmins. But the point is I'm not a Brahmin. And so, you know, okay, then Kshatriya, but I'm not really Kshatriya, and Vaishya, but I'm not. So, oh yeah, but we just chant. We don't care for all these things. Because there were discussions, you know, are the GBC Brahmin Kshatriyas or Vaishya? But they're thinking, well, Brahmins, because we lead and everything like that, but we're the ultimate managers, so we have to manage, so that makes us Kshatriyas. But we deal with all the money, and we want to control the money and all that, you know, what goes on, so that makes us Vaishyas. So it's this perfect balanced blend between these three and all that, because we chant, we're not onto all these things. We're just into controlling. You know, so the difficulty comes down is that, no, whatever is your position, that's what you do, your particular, in light of your particular tendency. So it doesn't matter what it is. We make something low class. But the point is if that's the condition, we're taking all these professionals and elevating them on a pedestal. And basically most of them are Shudras. You know, if they're a doctor, an educator, or a lawyer, then they may not be Shudras. You know, if they're okay, or if they're, you know, some, you know, research scientist or some, but I don't think they're talking about them. You know, so therefore, is that other than them, that most professionals are Shudras. So then the thing comes is that we say Shudras are bad, but at the same time as they're putting them on a pedestal. So in other words, Shudras that are better Shudras than their Shudras, then they revere them. You know, like celebrities, they're just rich sudras that, you know, funny shiny teeth and big chains, you know, like that. Yes, sir.
Maharaj, the difficulty seems to be with the general devotees. Oops. Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can hear.
Is that we don't pay salaries in Krishna consciousness for the service devotees perform. Okay. So okay. Then usually devotees, they say, you know, we got to get something. So we give them position. So that position is got to be, you know, Vaishya, Kshatriya, a better Brahman. But if not, at least, you know, Kshatriya is good, actually. So this is the difficulty, because otherwise, for neophytes, nothing really inspires them, because the taste isn't there. It's too small to move forward.
Yes, well, I mean, if you're doing temple work, then it's very nice. You're fully engaged. The temple's taking care of you. So what does it matter? Because then you're just fitting within the ashram and you're doing brahminical work. That's why Prabhupada had already established five of the elements of Varnashram. The four ashrams and brahminical work, because temple is all brahminical. But it doesn't mean within that, he did tell his temple presidents that, you know, you have to see someone's nature. So someone can work in administration, or they work in any of the, you know, the funds or the economics, the education or the deity worship or the preaching things, you know, as a full-time thing, because everybody can do an artique, but that doesn't mean that they could do that all day. You know, everybody can give a class or everybody could do a program, but it's not necessarily they can do that all the time. So it's by devotion that they're able to do these Bhagavat activities. But by ashram, how you maintain yourself, what you're regularly engaged in, then that's what you do. But if you're not staying in the temple and you're doing things, then you're doing, and then you try to render whatever service you can to the temple. But you're maintaining yourself. And so that way, then they don't have to worry about that. But it should be those in the temple. It's nicely engaged and everything like that. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. So then, okay. The spiritual orders, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas, are called ashramas. One executes this prescribed duty in both the social and spiritual orders. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is satisfied. So he's saying that this is the way it is. If one neglects his duties, however, he becomes this transgressor and a candidate for a hellish condition. Actually, we see that different people are engaged in different ways. Therefore, there must be divisions according to work. To attain perfection, one must make devotional service the center of life. In this way, one can awaken his natural instincts by work, association, and education. You know, so you do the activities you do, and you see them connected to Krishna. You associate with the devotees. You educate yourself by reading, by associating with others, by going to classes. One should accept the varnashram divisions by qualification, not by birth. Unless this system is introduced, human activities cannot be systematically executed. Otherwise, there's a complete insanity because everybody is overdoing stuff. It's just like, okay, you have the government. The government has to take tax. That's how Kshatriya the thing works. And that's the way all the governments of the world work. But then you'll find in that is that you'll have then, you know, they'll and who are they taxing? The where the economics is generated, right? So the economic community. So in the Vedic system, you're only taxing the Vaishyas. You're not taxing the Shudras, right? But somehow or another, now is that they're taxing the Shudras, right? And so then from that, then there's this huge thing that they have to manage all that. You know, the IRS has to deal with, you know, millions of people. Otherwise, they should only be dealing with hundreds of thousands of people. They get the same money. It's just that whatever's the tax, instead of the Vaishya giving it to the Shudra that he pays it, the Vaishya pays it himself. So one guy pays and 100 people don't have to worry about it. So one, it makes their life easier and everything like that. And it makes life easier for the government. So it becomes streamlined. You naturally get that small, you know, streamlined government. Those who are exactly there. The same time, as you see, these really big businessmen, they pay very little tax. You know, I guess the thing is they make so much money that a little bit of tax for them is more than what others are giving. But then the problem comes is then they have to tax small businesses and the general public so much and makes their life miserable. While if they just paid a few percent more, you know, it's like it's more than everybody else combined together giving tax. And so then everything goes nicely. It means government runs nicely, welfare works things at least nicely. The common person has more money. You need less welfare because he's doing better. And those who really need it, you can do. And in case of emergency, you have facility. You know, so it's just, that's the point. It's not systematic because they just do it, whatever's good for them. Vaishyas just want to make money. That's all. And so whatever they can do to make money, they'll do. But the point is that has to be regulated. It has to be systematic. Yes, you will make profit. But, you know, within this much. So they're thinking, yes, I can make more. But by them making more, the inflation, then everything costs more. And so then what does it mean anymore? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so that's the thing. It's not systematic. So therefore, everybody suffers. The Brahmins are the intellectuals who can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are always engaged in the cultivation of knowledge. It does not matter whether one is born in India or outside India. Those who are naturally very heroic and who tend to rule over others are called Kshatriyas. Those who tend to produce food by agricultural methods, protect cows and other animals, and engage in trade are called Vaishyas or merchants. Those who are not sufficiently intelligent to be Brahmins, Kshatriyas, or Vaishyas are required to serve a master and are called Shudras, right? So in other words, in the society, the intellectual aspect, the administrative aspect, and the economic aspect is what makes the whole thing run. So if you have a brain in those, you lead those. And if you don't have a brain in those, you assist in those three. It's really straightforward because you have this group of, you know, the mass of people. And so you require money. So you have to have those who lead in money. You have to have administration to hold it together. And you have to have knowledge to know where you're going with it. So you either do those, lead in those areas, or you assist those who are leading in those areas. So it's really, really straightforward, very simple. And so that's why you'll see is that you'll have Shudras that have all this wide range of knowledge. And sometimes this knowledge is very refined. You know, just like we say, you know, these a musician in the Philharmonic, the amount they know of knowledge and music is phenomenal. But they're a Shudra. You know, the guy who stands up there, you know, with the tails and his stick and waves his arm around, that's the Brahmin. And so they assist the Brahmin to put that all together. You know, they do their part. He leads them in that. And then voila, there's music. Right? So the whole point is that it's a matter of, you know, you lead or follow. Right. Or you can't get out of the way. But people won't do that. They won't lead. They won't follow. And they won't get out of the way. That's a problem. Right. Thus, everyone can engage in the service of the Lord and awaken his natural Krishna consciousness, because you take any of those and you do that occupation in connection with the Lord. That's already been established with the previous points. Right? If a society does not function according to such natural divisions, the social orders become degraded. The conclusion is that the scientific method of Varnashram Dharma should be adopted by society. Udriti from Sri Ramananda Samvad. So this is a book I think Prabhupada put together long time ago. I think back in the 50s or something like that. He's later he wrote the TLC where he did the five conversations. So this was where he wrote a book on this conversation before, like that. Because the Varnashram system is a creation of the personality of Godhead, it is not possible to do away with it. Right? Because you can say we won't follow, but you'll still end up with the same thing. However, the nefarious activities of the people of the age of Kali can jeopardize the Varnashram system. We have purposely used the word jeopardize because the whole system will exist, but in a reflective form. Right? It will be there, but it's jeopardized because things aren't working. It's precarious. Everything can fall apart in a moment. You know, and the natural thing is like at the same time is that people now, because no one's working in this and that, there's so much shortage and all that. At the same time, they're throwing away millions of tons of potatoes because they don't want the price to go down. You know, the point is that if you have an abundance of food and cloth and all these things, yes, the price will be less. You'll make less profit, but everything else costs less also. Your life will cost less, you know? So the whole thing is they jeopardize it because here it is that to make profit, they'll get rid of the prosperity of that is being produced in the country so that they can make more profit. And then who they may make their profit, but everybody else loses. In the Varnashram system of social management, the aim of life is to attain the favor of Lord Vishnu, the all-pervading personality of Godhead. Unfortunately, at the present moment, the aim of life is to displease the all-pervading Godhead and thereby suffer perpetually under the laws of material nature. The goal of the Varnashram system is to peacefully perform the prescribed duties of humanity and thereby achieve the highest success, namely the favor of Lord Vishnu. But when the aim of life is the planned exploitation of material nature, all life is jeopardized on account of the human race fighting with the laws of nature. The arrangement of nature is so strict that even a slight violation of the laws of nature can do great harm to the conditioned human being. human beings must always consider themselves to be living under the stringent laws of nature. They must always remember that their plans for breaking nature's laws will bring about tremendous hardships. Regrettably, human beings under the deluding influence of material nature want to lord it over the laws of nature, and as such, they are more and more entangled in conditioned life. So instead of taking it the laws of nature and what govern, they think, no, we'll govern the laws of nature. You'll find a loophole, but it never works. It always comes around and creates a problem. So the point is when you accept the laws of nature above, so it's governed by Krishna, therefore the laws of nature governing human life is the Varnashram. So we follow that, and in this way we come in tune. But that's just how we're situating ourselves. And then our focus is on the Supreme Lord. Just like, let's say, for a Grihastha, they have a house. But it's not about the house. The house is the place where now the family can do their service for Krishna. Right? They can worship Krishna, they can chant, they can do the sadhana, they can keep all the facilities that they need for maintaining themselves so that they can do their service to Krishna. So it's not about the house. Well, you do see some people, all they're doing is out there, they're mowing the lawn, cutting this, fixing this, doing that. Everything's perfect. If you try to talk to them, they're sometimes, they won't interact nicely because they're just too busy. So that's the thing, is that we use Varnashram just like you use the house to serve Krishna. You know, when we say Grihastha is for serving Krishna, that means they don't have a house. So that's the point, is that the Varnashram is just the structure in which human life functions. And because they're under the laws of nature, which is means under God. With that. The system of Varnashram Dharma, as it is mentioned in the scriptures, aims at achieving the favor of Lord Vishnu, right? That's as it is. If we want to do as it ain't, then that's another thing. This is the only solution of the problem of birth and death. The jeopardized system of Varnashram Dharma has produced a perverted form, commonly known as the caste system, right? So now that's where within the Varna, they're misusing it. So then here saying, oh, the Shudras are lower and this one and that one. That's a caste system. So then, yes, of course, that you don't use. You use the Daiva Varnashram, the natural system. The caste system is now represented by the political diplomats, the soldiers, the capitalists, and the laborers. The politicians or the best planning brains of the human race have taken the position of Brahmins. Surely the Brahmin possesses the best brain for solving the problems of human life, but the politicians are simply using the best part of their brains for executing their own selfish plans. Avoiding the orders of the Supreme Godhead, they only bring disorder to the society. Because you see, is here, so diplomats, soldiers, capitalists, and the laborers. There's a thing, people don't trust the politicians. You know, they have a problem sometimes with the military that they try to control, the capitalists try to control, the laborers are just trying to, they just want to be paid and not work. You know, the capitalists want, you know, all profit. They know everybody else gets nothing like that. Soldiers are looking for a war, so they want all the money so they can do that. And the politicians just want their position. They just want to stay in power, even if they do nothing for the people. So that's the problem. It's been jeopardized. And people take those. So they're using that, but they're using their intelligence to only do those things for their own benefit rather than do those things as their part in society to please the Lord. And so they get benefit and the society gets benefit. You know, it's like the head's trying to do its own thing, the arm's its own thing, stomach its own thing, the leg's its own thing, and each one doesn't trust the other and they won't work together. You know, so it's jeopardized. The military arrangement is a false representation of the Kshatriyas, who are meant to give protection to the public at large. However, the military leaders of every country are sucking the blood of the masses by imposing heavy, unbearable taxes instead of giving any actual protection. So they take the money and they don't do anything in return, you know, like that. You know, see, forest fires are burning the whole East Coast, the West Coast of America. I mean, huge. It's never been like this before. And then the, you know, head of the country comes in and says, oh, it's because you're mismanaging your forest. You're not, you know, getting out there with brooms and sweeping up all the pine needles so that there's no fires. You know, what about doing, bringing in the people from other places? I mean, They don't need firefighters right now, you know, in the places that have floods, right? So they could come over and help, you know, something, but they're not doing. They just they take the money and then say it's your fault. Okay. The capitalists who represent Vaishyas, instead of accumulating wealth for carrying out the will of the Lord of Lord Vishnu, are amassing huge wealth for their own sense gratification. As a result of this, many problems, such as political policies that exploit the masses, have sprung up in all parts of the world. So because they get so much money and they have so much influence, then they'll try to introduce things through the government where they can exploit more, like that. And it's going on, it says, in all parts of the world. The laborers are a perverted representation of the Sudras, who are serving the capitalists under the pressure of many obligations. They are always groaning to make an adjustment to the labor problem by raising political issues. So then they become political. So we see shooters are political. The capitalists are used to politics like that. The politicians use the politics. And, you know, the military tries to get whatever they can. But the system of Varnashram has not been ostracized as some may wish, but the whole system has now been pervertedly represented by politicians in the position of Brahmins, military men in the position of Kshatriyas, individual capitalists in the position of the Vaishyas, and ordinary labor in the position of the Shudras. The whole Shudra system is perverted by the law-breaking attitude of mankind. This is spoiling the atmosphere of peaceful progress in human life. At present, the system of perverted Varnashram Dharma cannot in any way please the Supreme Godhead Vishnu. So you see, is these four positions are still there. They just become perverted, right? And then then amongst themselves, they create their own. Even in India, they using the old system, they create the caste system. And in the West, they still have their caste system. The function of the Brahmins or sannyasis is to transmit the transcendental sound of the Vedas so that every human being can know what is what in relation to the Supreme. Because the Kshatriyas are the arms of the Virat Purusha, it is their duty to protect the whole body and cooperate with the mouth, stomach, and legs. The system Varnashram is a spiritual plan of cooperation for mutual benefit, and therefore it is essential that it be maintained in its original dignity. As it stands now, it is perverted and diseased. Right? So you can't take that. You know what the real thing is, and that's what you discuss, that's what you practice, that's what you understand, that's what you train others in. So the whole idea is that needs to be there to be used. And notice these points that Prabhupada's making. It's not that Varnashram is thrown out. He says, the system Varnashram Dharma has not been ostracized as some may wish. So this is in Ramananda Samvad. It is in connection with this. This is what, we haven't lifted this from some other place where Prabhupada's making a point about Varnashram. This is right from this discussion. So he's saying that it is necessary, but it itself is not the ultimate goal. It's there to help us bring our life in line with Krishna, regulate our life and do things to please Krishna. And that's the point. That's the point we'll be taking farther and farther. 2:8. 59-60. The Lord replied, yes.
Just a small question. This means in this presentation of Srila Prabhupada, he said that the whole system is perverted by the law-breaking attitude of mankind. So it seems that not to accept Varnashram or not to accept Krishna consciousness, the problem is not to accept the law, but accept God.
Yes, yes. Because people don't want to follow the law. They don't want to follow the law, you know. So the point is that you have means that if people actually wanted to follow the law and wanted to do, but they have a difficulty, and the administration, they're trying to protect the people, but they may make some mistake. What's the problem? Why can't they talk? Right? You have all those guys. What was it? Was it yellow or orange? They were sitting there in, you know, down in the, you know, downtown in Paris. For months.
Yellow color.
Okay. So the point is it means can you let's say just this for example. Okay, you have all the yellow vest wallahs sitting out there, you know, in the whatever it is, you know, in that area. And so then let us say you want to, okay, let's do something. So you go up and say, okay, so what are your points? Will there be a clear point that all of these guys in yellow agree upon? And then, okay, yes, we have these 5 points. We want to see that this is done. And then the populace, you know, of France will be able to live very comfortably, you know, without any anxiety. Okay, and then that's okay. Then the administrators, hey, these are the points that are there, you know, and then they discuss. Okay, what is this? You know, what, so why is it they're saying this? You know, what's gone wrong and this and that? Oh, but this is too much. This is about, but if you have this, you have this, and work something out. But no, they just want to sit there and yell and scream and like that, and, you know, and make sure the shops don't run. And if I have no money, no one's going to have money. You know, if I can't wear Louis Vuitton, no one's going to wear it. You know, so like that, then it's about breaking the law. It's not about actually correcting the situation. At the same time, is yes, you have to, they don't behave properly, but it also, we see the politicians don't. They're just about themselves. I've seen it that some political party comes up with something good for the public. The other political party, the opposition, will oppose it, even though it's a good thing for the public, because they didn't come up with it. So they'll say it's bad. So then they break it down. Then nothing happens. And then when nothing happens, then they'll say, see, you know, you voted for them and they did nothing. Vote for us. We'll do something. But they won't be allowed to do anything because the opposition will get. So it has nothing to do with the public. So the politicians, it's not about the public. The military is not about the public. Like that, the vices is not about the public. And the public, it's just each man for themselves. They don't care about the public either. They say all these things, but, you know, do they actually do something? They say that, you know, it's about the people, and then they burn the bus. You know, and how many people ride on that bus every day? Thousands, tens of thousands. Now there's no bus. How was that for the people? You know, yeah, we want to put pressure on the government. Where did that money to buy the bus come from? Did it come out of the government bought it? No, they bought it from the taxes. Where'd that come? The people that don't have the bus. So I paid tax that bought the bus. Now the people burn the bus. Now I have to walk and I have to pay more tax to buy a new bus so I can take the bus. So that's the problem. Nobody's working actually for the benefit. They just want to break the rules. They don't care what it is. So this thing is that it has to be about the people. You know, protecting the people. That's not that. Where is that the thing of administration? Underlying, it'll be there, but as long as it gets too extreme. But in general, no one brings it up. Education means it has to be. You have to know what's knowledge, matter, spirit, and the relationship between the two. That's knowledge, and then everything else is how you, in your position, engage yourself to understand that. So all the opera vidya is so that you can engage yourself in a position to apply paravidya. And where's that? No, it's just get this knowledge, get a job, you know, and you'll be happy. But where are the jobs? You know, where's the bus to go to your job? It's been burnt, you know? So it's a difficulty. Does that make sense? So you see, nobody trusts anybody else. Everybody wants to be in charge. That's why you see, before it was, you had the temple and it ran. Now you have to have all these committees. Why? Because no one trusts anybody else. It's that simple. It's not like, yes, you need many people to, like Mayapur, it's a big project. One person can't do it. You have many people. So they cooperate together. That's there, yes. But it's not that one person could do it. But, you know, the community says, no, we want this temple committee. And so they put 20 people on the temple committee and the temple only has, you know, 20 devotees in it. You know, so there's many as, you know, there's more chiefs than Indians here. Right. And nothing gets done because no one can cooperate. And no one, well, I can't be there for this. I got to take my kid to the dentist and this and that. And no, we can't go on. You know, I got to be involved in this. So we can't have a meeting until I get back and nothing works. But, and why? Because no one wants to follow anybody else. No one wants to follow authority. Simple. So that's why Prabhupada before had made the point of, in light of his particular tendency, every man should perform his occupational duty in the light of his particular tendency. According to his abilities, one should accept a position in the Varnashram institution. So if you can't manage, don't be a manager. You know, if you can't make money, don't deal with that. You know, so what you have the ability for, do that. And then you're happy. Everyone else is happy. You're happy because you're doing something you can do. Everyone else is happy because you're actually producing something. Right? Does that make sense? So it's a matter of changing the mentality. But to do that, you have so much baggage because of the Kali Yuga. So what's going to correct that? It's only by chanting. It's only by devotional service. So by association devotional service, you qualify to engage yourself, in devotional service, and at the same time as it goes to engage all the wider range. Because someone comes new to Krishna consciousness, much of the time they can just run on that for a few years, 2-3, maximum 4 years. After that, then they have to be able to function according to their nature. And then if you don't have a system for that, then you see they just disappear into the quote unquote community. Like that. Is that all right? Okay.
Yes.
2:8:59-60. The Lord replied, "This is external. You had better tell me of some other means." Ramananda replied, "To offer the results of one's activities to Krishna is the essence of all perfection." Okay, so he's taken, do your duties. And to do that to please the Supreme Lord. So he says, that's external. You better tell me of some other means. So in other words, he's trying to get to something more internal, more connected with the soul, the relationship of the soul with the Lord. So the external is, yes, it is considering the conditioned nature. But you're going to engage your conditioned nature in the Lord's service. But the point is he's trying to take it further. Because otherwise people just, it's like the manager just focuses on management and he figures job well done. When there's so many more things that could be there. You know, does that make sense? So the pujari is just his technical things or the puja and this and that. And that's all. And so they're not looking at, how to make profit. So then he brings up the next. Ramananda Rai continued, "My dear son of Kunti," this is a quote, "whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer in sacrifice, whatever you give in charity, and whatever austerities you perform, all the results of such activity should be offered to me, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So Krishna is saying is that in that, then how are you pleasing the Supreme Lord? It's by offering the results. Right? So that's the next step. Uddhaviti, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Chapter 28. Lord Chaitanya rejected the statement cited by Ramananda Rai from the Vishnu Purana because the Lord wished to reject a class of philosophers known as Mimamsakas, right? So here he's given the reason he's doing that. He's not saying devotees don't do this, but he's trying to get rid of those who would see things. That one also? That's weird. Can you still hear me?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. Okay. He went to reject a class of philosophers known as Mimamsakas. The followers of Karma Mimamsa philosophy teach that God is subject to one's work. Their conclusion is that one works nicely, God is bound to give good results. Means Krishna says he rewards you accordingly. Therefore, if I do good work, he has to give me the good work. If I do bad, he gets me good bad. So it depends upon me. I'm the center of everything. So to avoid that they make it a varnashram becomes the main thing and I do the things and I'm doing my duties, therefore Krishna has to bless me with prema, then he's trying to get rid of that mentality like that. Thus, from the statement of the Vishnu Purana cited by Ramananda Rai, one might conclude that Vishnu, the Supreme Lord, has no independence but is bound to award a certain kind of result to the worker. Such a dependent God becomes subject to the worshiper, who accepts the Supreme Lord as both impersonal and personal, as he wishes. He's impersonal because it doesn't matter, and he's personal because he's the one that gives you the stuff. Actually, the Karma Mimamsaka philosopher stresses the impersonal feature of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Because Lord Chaitanya did not like such impersonalism, he rejected it. So it's based on that. So we see here, this is TLC, so that's something that's available. So that's the point. He wants to avoid that mentality, you know, udriti, from Sri Ramananda Sambhad. The easiest way of attaining the absolute truth, what is that? Is to culture knowledge about the absolute truth, as it is described in the scriptures, while simultaneously performing one's prescribed duty, right? So you're culturing knowledge about and simultaneously performing your duties. Ramananda Rai, after being asked by Lord Chaitanya to define the highest standard of perfection in human life, has taken up the cause of ordinary people and supported the utility of Varnashram by quoting the Vishnu Purana, right? Because he's trying to include the maximum amount of people. He said that the performance of duties according to Varnashram should be taken as the highest perfection of life. Yet, because the Varnashram Dharma system is the problem within the material world in the age of Kali, Lord Chaitanya wanted to distinguish it from the devotional activities, right? Because you're doing this thing connected, but you still have to know that the devotional activity is the actual main point. Otherwise, you can think, if I do whatever I'm doing perfectly, then that's it. I run my household perfectly, it's done. I manage perfectly, it's done. You know, like this. So you can, I ran my business. I made profit. It's done. You have to know is what's the difference. One's the tool. One's actually what you're performing. Like I'm cooking through using pots like that. So the principle of cooking is the actual point. I'm using the utensils to accomplish it. But you have to know what is cooking and what's a pot, right? Yet, Lord Chaitanya wanted to distinguish it from the devotional activities which are transcendental by nature. Taking into consideration the transcendental nature of devotional service, which is the highest perfection of life, Lord Chaitanya declared the system of Varnashram Dharma to be external, which it is. It's dealing with your conditioned nature. Lord Chaitanya wanted human beings to make further advancement in the process of spiritual realization than what is possible by the performance of Varnashram Dharma. Because then you're only considering the connection of the conditioning to the Lord. And if I've done that much, it's good enough. He wants to take them beyond that, that they're going to be doing that, but their consciousness has to go beyond. Though the aim of Varnashram Dharma is to satisfy the all-pervading Godhead Vishnu, it does not explicitly mention devotional service rendered directly to the personality of Godhead, right? Because generally you're working with indirect. So it itself is not mentioning the direct activities. It can accommodate it, but it doesn't specifically mention, so most people won't catch that. Without being specifically engaged in devotional service, even the proper performance of Varnashram Dharma may lead one to accept either the impersonal or impersonal or personal feature of Godhead, right? So one has to be very careful. Lord Chaitanya's rejection of the value of Varnashram Dharma indicated that Ramananda Roy should suggest a more comprehensive process of self-realization, right? So in other words, it doesn't mean Varnashram's rejected. It just means there has to be more comprehensive. Varnashram is taking care of a part of our engagement, but there's more. Taking the hint from Lord Chaitanya, Ramananda Roy quoted a verse from the Bhagavad Gita, 9:27, about the process of dedicating all one's karma, fruit of actions, to Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer or give away, as well as all austerities that you perform, do as an offering unto me. To give and take means one person giving and another person receiving. This distinct feature of dealings between the living entity and the personality of Godhead is a more clear concept, one's proper relationship with the absolute truth, than that which is found in Varnashram. Because in Varnashram, it's you according to your nature are performing your duties, and it will produce, you know, the facilities required. But you're supposed to do that in context of the Supreme. But it can be either personal or impersonal. And the general tendency, as Prabhupada said of the Mimamsakas, is impersonal. Like that, because they don't really care. As long as you get your result, what do they care who he is or what he is? But now if you're giving the results of everything to Krishna, that means you as a person is giving to him as a person. So now you're cutting out the impersonal part. So it's making it more clear. You know? So we see the stages that are going here. And so that's what it's going up through. Right? Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, so this will be Prabhupada's purport on the on this Chaitanya Charitamrita verse. So he sees Prabhupada has three commentaries on this verse. One in Chaitanya Charitamrita, one in teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and one in Sri Ramananda Samvada. Srila Prabhupada, the Lord has said that the Varnashram Dharma is not properly executed in the age of Kali. Therefore, he ordered Ramananda Roy to go further into the matter. Ramananda Roy replied with this verse from the Bhagavad Gita 9:27, which instructs that while remaining in the system of Varnashram Dharma, one may offer the results of his activities to Lord Krishna in loving service. Naturally, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking Ramananda Roy about the execution of devotional service. Ramananda Roy first enunciated the principle of Varnashram Dharma in consideration of materialistic people. However, this conception is not transcendental. As long as one is the material world, he must follow the principles of Varnashram Dharma, but devotional service is transcendental. The system of Varnashram Dharma to the three modes of material nature. It refers to the three modes of material nature, but transcendental devotional service is on the absolute platform. Sometimes materialists consider Lord Vishnu a material conception. Impersonalists think that above Lord Vishnu is the impersonal Brahman. The impersonalists misunderstand the worship of Lord Vishnu. They worship Lord Vishnu to merge into his body. In order that Vishnu Aradhana not be misunderstood, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested that Sri Ramananda Rai proceed further and clear up the issue. Ramananda Rai quoted the verse from the Bhagavad Gita stating that the results of one's occupational duty may be offered to Lord Vishnu or Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.8, it is also said, Dharma svanushtita pumsam vishvakshena katasuya nod payed yati ratim shrama eva hikevalam. If one executes the occupational duties of Varnashram, but does not cultivate his dormant Krishna consciousness, his activities are futile. His occupation simply becomes unnecessary labor. So Varnashram must be performed, but if it's only performed for the benefit you get out of it, then it's a waste of time. You have to be doing it in connection with the Supreme. That's the whole point, because it's the transcendental aspect is the important for human life. The other is just the structure you function within. Is that, yeah? Okay, so we'll stop here for today. Good. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.
Jai.